When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
G&D here on The Fan. Want to remind you guys, as Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. It's the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morab, can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
We are live at the Crystal City Sports Pub. It's a Friday field trip. Come on out and have lunch. Kick it with us. It's going to be a great day talking football and getting ready for the Commanders, the Eagles, and Week 16 in the NFL, which got underway last night. Chargers, Broncos, AFC West football. To discuss that game and the rest of the slate this weekend, we are joined by our guy Trey Wingo, courtesy of DraftKings Network. Trey, you are on in D.C. Thank you for the time. We appreciate you. What did you make last night of the very rare free kick field goal opportunity? I've never seen that in my life.
Yeah, first one made in the NFL, guys. Good to be with you since 1976 when Ray Worthing pulled it off. Of course we all remember that. There have been a couple of times where they've actually attempted this over the last 5 years or so, but that was the first one that was actually made, in a long, long time. And that's just really smart, okay? That's the Chargers really understanding the situation and taking advantage of it. Like, the free kick is the greatest thing in the world. Like, it's like an uncontested layup. And when you have a guy like Cameron Dicker who can hit it that far and get a running start at it, it's tremendous.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh didn't seem to know about it or wasn't aware of it. Someone came up, and I saw the video. They, like, grabbed him as he was sending his offense out onto the field. And yeah, they're like, no, we got to do this. Should we be – or should Broncos fans be bothered that it seemed like Sean Payton wasn't aware? Or is that one of those where you kind of blame the penalty, you blame the execution on special teams?
Look, all those things are true, but if you're a coach, you got to know that stuff. I don't care whether you're Harbaugh or Sean Payton. You gotta know that that's a possibility. But but for Sean, there's nothing he could do about it anyway. Like, even if he didn't know it, like, you can't try and defend it. It's a free kick. So everyone should know the freaking rules, man. That's situational football.
Trey Wingo with us here on G&D. Who finishes with the number one seed in the NFC?
Oh gosh, it looks like Philadelphia, guys. They won 10, and obviously they got you guys, the Commanders, coming up. I want you to listen to these numbers, okay? They're on a 10-game winning streak. They were 2-2. They've won 10 in a row. Here are their NFL ranks since week 6. Best record, first. Total point margin, second, plus 132. Total yards margin, which is really the thing that's absolutely amazing here. They're plus 1,368. In yards, that's first. And time of possession, almost 33 minutes per game, also first. They're not just winning, they're beating people up. And that's the most impressive thing about this. But it is interesting, right? No matter how good they play or how well they play, if I want to use the English language, there's always drama. Even in their last win, Nick Sirianni had to be separated from Jalen Carter. There's always something going on with this team, and I guess they feed off it.
They seem to, but what is the deal internally with Sirianni, who seems like he's not well-liked? I mean, he's got one of the great winning percentages ever. He's kind of a wackadoo. He's yelling at fans several weeks back. Him and Hurts are always bristling, it seems like. Like, what is the deal there?
Well, you know, you ever watch the what's the John Oliver show? Last Week Tonight on HBO?
Sure.
HBO Max.
Yeah.
Well, he had this line once about Nigel Farage, who was leading Brexit, and he referred to him as the perpetual cover boy of World's Most Punchable Face magazine. And I think that's part of it. Nick Sirianni looks like he has one of the world's most punchable faces. You just want to smack him. And I think that's part of it. I don't know. They just feed off the drama, man. And if it works for them, it works for them. But, yeah, look, there's no secret that, you know, people like A.J. Brown, like, with all due respect, when they asked him after the game, hey, that was to tell everybody to shut up. Well, if you just shut up, nobody would have known there was a problem between you and Jalen Hurts, right? So I hate it when players do that. Yo, I can't believe you guys stirred this all up. No, you did, bro.
Yep.
You did. And then we followed up with that. So don't get it twisted. They live off, like, everything's good when you're winning, as long as you're winning, right? I'm really curious to see what happens if they drop one of these final three games and maybe fall out of the number one seed in the NFC.
So, Trey, Detroit, kind of to that end, the other team that might have something to say about it, I guess Minnesota as well, who's also 12-2.
Yeah.
But Detroit deserves a ton of credit for what they've already done. Their resume is awesome. To me, I'm probably unfairly dismissing them just because of the multitude of injuries. You can't do that and get away with it and win a Super Bowl. But are we discounting them unfairly?
No, I think it's the reality of the situation. Guys, to put it in perspective, they have 16 defensive players on injured reserve. Now, let's just do the math. Okay, that's 11 starters plus 5 backups on one side of the ball. Like, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the Niners have had a lot of injuries, right? You've had Christian McCaffrey, and I think they're on their 5th-string running back. Maybe even their 6th-string running back now. And, you know, Brandon Ayuk is out. And we've had, you know, Bosa miss some games. And those are all quality players, but at least it's some on one side of the ball, some on the other side of the ball. I don't know if I can ever remember a rash of injuries on one side of the ball like this ever. I mean, 16. That's a lot.
The other team in the division that's just quietly chugged along, I think we've all kept waiting for the other shoe to drop with the Vikings, but they suddenly have the same record as the Lions. They're both 12-2. They still play a head-to-head game in week 18. Now, in the meantime, Minnesota's got Seattle and Green Bay. So that's about as tough a three-game stretch as any of these elite teams have. But how much of a chance do you give them to win the division and possibly host a playoff game?
I think I give them the best chance to win that division right now. You know, if they win out, they're going to win it. And I think, I got to look at this, I think if they win out, they get the number one seed as well from Philadelphia, even if Philadelphia wins out. So it's really been very impressive. Like, it's really, really been really impressive. And, you know, they started 5-0, and then they lost 2 games in a row. I think we all forgot about them. Like, well, there you go, they lost 2 in a row. Well, they haven't lost since. And they've been really impressive. I think the other thing about this, guys, if we're being honest about it, how many of us really believe in Sam Darnold at this point? I think that's it, right? We're still surprised on some level. We're happy for him that he's doing this. But we're like, okay, this guy's never been in the postseason before as a starting quarterback. So let's see how this goes when everything's on the line. Because it is different, right? You have to coach games differently. You have to play games differently in the postseason. And it is a different beast. So there's a real strong possibility that they can get the number one seed. But I think all of us are curious to what they see or what happens once they get there.
And Trey, I will also add, I'm totally, and this is unfair, holding 2 years ago against them when they won 13 games despite being outscored, there's a I don't really trust him kind of thing, which I don't think is right.
No, but you're not wrong there, right? Like, how do I put this? Like, that was Kirk Cousins in the postseason, right? And no one knew what was going to happen there because Kirk has not had a lot of success in the postseason either. So I don't think it's dissimilar in any way, shape, or form.
Trey Wingo with us here on Grant and Danny. So AFC, maybe it's a bit tighter here, but are any teams that right now are outside the playoff picture looking in, do any of them end up in the postseason?
Well, Cincinnati is really interesting, right? Because that loss last night by Denver opens up a possibility for the for the Bengals to get in there. And, you know, I don't think anybody wants to see Joe Burrow in the postseason. A reminder, he's the only active quarterback in the NFL that has led his team to a playoff win over the Kansas City Chiefs. The other two losses in their Patrick Mahomes era were to Tom Brady in an AFC championship game and then the Super Bowl. So here's what Cincinnati needs to make the playoffs. They got to win out. They got to beat the Browns, the Bengals, and the Steelers, and that's going to be tough because that Steelers game, they still could be playing for the division title at that point, depending on what happens on Saturday. And even if something happens on Saturday, they're still going to be in it because they would have if let's assume they lose the Steelers on Saturday to the Ravens, which they almost never do, they'd still be tied, so that last game could be very important depending on what happens to Baltimore. So the scenario for Cincinnati is this. Win their last three. The Broncos have to lose their last two games. They have to lose out to Cincinnati, and then they take on the Chiefs, and who knows what the Chiefs will or won't be playing for in Week 18. And then the Colts have to lose once more, and the Dolphins have to lose once more. All of those things are certainly doable. Now, it's asking a lot, and, you know, Cincinnati's been very uneven. Like, who knows? Denver could just this week put that to bed by going there and taking care of Cincinnati at home, because Cincinnati has had all kinds of eggs that they've laid at home. So, although it's just interesting to see all the things they've gone through and the horrible start they got off to and some of the ridiculous losses. You know, Joe Burrow's playing quarterback better than anybody right now.
The Colts, who are bad, could lose to anybody. I grant you that. But they do have a Charmin soft finish here. They play Tennessee, the Giants, and the Jaguars. So
they only got to lose one of those.
Right, and they're bad enough to lose to anybody. Miami, by the way, plays San Fran, very losable. Cleveland, the New York Jets. So that one's even easier to see happening. But you're right. I mean, if the Bengals somehow got in, I know their record is what it is for a reason. Their defense is awful. But it's Burrow in the playoffs, man. I know the Chiefs wouldn't want to have to play Cincinnati as like 9.5-point favorites.
That's exactly right. And remember, the Bengals once, I think the year they went to the Super Bowl, they beat the Titans when they were the number one seed. I think Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. That's right.
They still found a way to win that game.
Why? Then part of this is expectations, and that's not a real tangible thing here, Trey, but why isn't Houston better?
Well, there's been a regression on offense. CJ Stroud has not put up the numbers that they were hoping that he would. Some of that is because of he's taken a beating behind a leaky offensive line, and that's kind of funny with this game between the Chiefs and the Texans on Saturday, because that's a big issue for both of these squads. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the loss of Stephon Diggs has been a huge issue for them. But that offense, I mean, the defense is playing okay. That offense has just not been as consistent as it needs to be and as good as they were a year ago. That's the biggest issue for them.
Look at the NFC West with us. Right now, you got a two-way tie. Rams, Seahawks, 8-6. Seattle, Geno Smith goes down. Sam Howell looked rough in his first action with the Seahawks. But
yeah,
the Rams,
guys know Sam Howell.
Yeah, well, very well.
We do.
Probably better than we'd like to. Rams are frisky, though. This is three straight wins.
Yeah.
They finish with Jets, Cardinals, Seahawks. Feels like one of McVay's better coaching jobs. If they were to get in, how would you feel about them as a possible tough out?
I would not want to face them in the first round of the postseason, for sure. Look, you have Stafford in year 16, guys. Year 16, playing as well as he's ever played. And you could make a very convincing argument that they have the best tandem of wide receivers in the NFL. I know some people are going to say it's Jordan Addison and Jefferson. I know some people are going to say it's Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. But Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua are absolutely unreal. And in fact, it's pretty clear to me that Puka is now option one and Cooper Kupp is option number two. Those two guys, when they're on the field together and Stafford playing the way he's playing, they would be a team that I would not want to say, oh, we got to play them in the first round. I would not be comfortable with that if I was the opposing team.
I still think the Ravens have as high a ceiling as anybody. But some of these confounding losses here, Trey, frustrated Ravens fans, but they're still, to me, so damn dangerous, but they haven't really put it together. I know their schedule's been really tough, one of the tougher in the league, just anecdotally. I have no facts to back that up other than my own gut feeling and what I've told myself here recently thinking about them. But I feel like they are incredibly dangerous, and they're 6.5-point favorites this weekend against their arch-rival Pittsburgh. So there is some belief in them.
There is, but you're right. They have some of the more confounding losses in the year. Explain to me how you're going to lose to the Raiders at home, right? Yeah. Explain to me how you found a way to lose that game to Cleveland. Some of their losses are really troubling. The problem for them, which and it's interesting that I find that they're that big of a favorite, the Steelers own these guys. Like, they do not play well against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think in the Mike Tomlin, John Harbaugh era, I think Tomlin is 21-15, something like that. And you look at 21-15. And by the way, this is just so people understand how special this is. The only two head coaches that have played against each other more in the history of the NFL than Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh are Curly Lambeau and George Halas. That's how many times these guys have met, including postseason. But they do it. You look at Lamar Jackson's numbers historically against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're just different. For example, just go back to week 11, right? They scored 16 points. In every other game this season, they're averaging almost 31. They had 329 yards in that game. In every other game, they're averaging over 430. They had 16 first downs in that game. They averaged 24 in every other game. They had three giveaways in that game. They give away half a turnover, basically, in every other game. Lamar's passer rating in that game was 66.1 out of 158. In every other game, it's 125.4. They know how to get to him. Lamar's teams with the Ravens are just 1-4 against Pittsburgh. They're 66-20 against everybody else. His TD to giveaway ratio is 5-11. It's just different. They sack him almost five times a game over the five games that he's been a starter against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, it certainly helps that they're at home, but Lamar, I mean, the Steelers are kryptonite to Lamar Jackson. They always have been.
Trey Wingo, DraftKings Network on Grant and Danny. We'll let you out on this. You're on a football Friday in D.C. getting ready for the Commanders and the Eagles. Sounds like you're all in on Philly, and I totally get it. I think they're the best team in the NFC. What kind of a chance do you give Washington in their second matchup with the Eagles, this time at home on Sunday?
Well, I give them more than a puncher's chance, for sure. They've got to find a way to sustain drives against that Eagles defense, which is, like I said, time of possession. They're averaging almost 33 minutes a game, 32-42. You've got to find a way to not give them a lead. The Eagles are great front runners, right? That's who they are. You know, that Najee Harris sort of lateral, even though it was on Russell Wilson because it's on the quarterback to get the ball to the running back, it was clearly a Najee Harris fumble when it was 20-13. That changed the entire complexity of that game. You've got to get on these guys. You've got to get on them and then make them come from behind, and that's way easier said than done. But if you can do it, it changes a little bit of the dynamic of this Eagles juggernaut, and they're going to have to rely on that passing game, which is 31st in the NFL, guys, out of 32 teams. So you can say, oh, it's so great with Saquon, but when you have what you're paying Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, there is absolutely no excuse for that passing attack to be 31st in the NFL.
Trey, awesome with us as always, man. Have a great weekend.
You got it, too. Anytime, guys. Be with you.
Trey Wingo of DraftKings on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We are live at the Crystal City Sports Pub for a Friday field trip today. We are out and about. We are going to be previewing the Commanders and the Eagles until 6:30. We'll scout the opponent with John McMullen of SI in Philly at 5. Got our Beltway Blitz at 4. That's when we're giving away Caps tickets. That is about 40 minutes from right now, so you better be listening if you want those Caps tickets. John Allen back on the practice field without a non-contact jersey. Pretty nice progress for him today. We'll get into that as we continue on Grant and Danny. Welcome back to the Crystal City Sports Pub and to Grant and Danny. We are live out and about in Arlington. Thanks so much for making the show part of your day. Come on out for our Friday field trip. We are out and about to mingle and hang out with you guys ahead of a big Sunday clash. The Eagles, the Commanders. This is not for the top of the division. This is for Washington to potentially punch a ticket to the postseason with a little bit of help and a win on Sunday. In fact, I was talking to a buddy out here at Crystal City Sports Pub. He said, you know, I don't know when the last time I went to a game where they might have clinched a playoff spot was. And I started to rack my brain, and I'm going, well, did you go in 2012 when they beat Dallas? It's like, nope, wasn't there. Was that
again,
the playoff
you had like
game?
Two other chances to choose from.
I was like, okay, then in your lifetime, there's only a couple other games that have probably happened.
Right.
Now, they clinched the 15 playoffs when they won the division with Cousins in Philly in that game on the road at the Link. But you couldn't have gone to a game with the playoffs on the line that year. So unless you went to the playoff game against the Packers, you know, that's a different kind of category. So now you're going back to, and I'd have to look, like 2005 maybe. I believe they clinched at the end of the year in Philly, if I remember correctly. Like a Sean Taylor touchdown that season.
Yep.
Soaring into the end zone.
When everyone else is sort of fumbling around for the ball, bad pun, the fumble. And then Sean Taylor swoops in like a pterodactyl, finding its prey, and just glides past everybody for a touchdown. What about 2007, where you beat, I think they clinched when they beat Dallas at home in the last week of the season. Or am I nuts about that?
So that was a 9-7 division winner.
Yeah.
I would imagine they probably clinched. It's possible.
Maybe they clinched the week before beating Minnesota because they had to win 4 in a row.
Right. I would think at 9-7, you had to win to get in the final week. So that could be the other option if you went to that 2007 game.
You know, almost 20 years ago.
The Cowboys. But, yeah, there's just not that many on the resume for fans to have gone and enjoyed playoff ramification football in December for this team. It's been so few and far between. And, of course, they haven't won a playoff game since 2005. So they're going to try to end that drought. But first, you got to get into the postseason.
Yeah, just thinking about this also, I'm fascinated by this. I think a lot of people don't care. But if you beat Philadelphia, it pretty much means you're going to play Philadelphia, right? They're not going to get the one seed anymore unless Detroit falls apart and Philly goes 2 out of 3. And
Minnesota.
And Minnesota is a factor as well. But it increases the likelihood to me that Philly doesn't get the one seed, ends up with the, a second-best division winning record. Minnesota can't pass Detroit and Minnesota. Will either jockey for the top of that division for the number one overall seed.
Yeah, one of them is going to be the 5 seed.
Yeah, the wild card can't supersede a division winner. So you're almost locking Philadelphia in as your opponent. Just interesting to me that it's sort of setting that up.
Yeah, and we've made the case that playing the Eagles in Philly probably going to be more arduous a matchup than playing the Lions in Detroit now, even though it did not feel that way all season. As recently as 2 weeks ago, I don't think it felt like that. But now, with 17 injuries defensively alone and all of the problems they've had keeping guys healthy and David Montgomery out for the remainder of the season probably, I think I'd rather play the Lions indoors than the Eagles outside in a playoff game.
Now, maybe you beat them this weekend and look like the better team. It might change your eye line. But on paper right now, I rubber stamp everything you said.
But a big part of why I would have rather played the Eagles is the familiarity, the division matchup, the fact that when an opponent is known, it takes away some of that lore of like, oh, I got to go play the Lions, this vaunted two-loss team. People have been talking about them all year. When you go play the Eagles, no matter how many losses they have.
We know what they do. They know what we do.
I played them twice. I almost had a lead against them in the fourth quarter. Who knows what happens this weekend. But, you know, potentially, oh, I beat that team at home or I lost by a field goal at the gun or whatever. You just feel a little bit more competent, capable probably, when you've done it before. I know for me personally in my life, my confidence comes from familiarity. When I'm nervous, it's because I'm doing something I haven't done, right? When do you get nervous? You go out on a first date, these like things you haven't done in a while, or this person you don't know or whatever. Like in radio, people are like, do you get nervous? I don't get nervous doing our show. We do. I got a rundown. I kind of am comfortable in the flow. I know you and have a camaraderie with our guys. Now, if I had to go do a random broadcast I've never done before, I'm doing my first altcast, which, by the way, watch the altcast tonight for the Capitals on Monumental Sports.
Is there an outlet for that plug? Hold on 1 second.
That's where it's that one right there.
Right there, yep.
Right there. But, I mean, dude, the confidence comes from doing things.
Yes.
I think you'd be more confident playing the Eagles. We've just got to a point now where if they were playing the Lions on a neutral site, I think they'd be like a 3.5 or 4 point favorite maybe, almost, at this point, right?
Oof. Yeah, probably.
I mean, at least 2.5.
Right. Yeah.
They would 100% be favored over the Lions this weekend.
As of this moment. Yeah, just it's tough for me with the resume, but I think you might be right. Again, just given all the injuries. So, yeah, I mean, there's something to that, certainly, right? Where, you know, a coach that plays the psychology game the exact right way could say, look at where we were right here, going back to that first game. You're winning. Second half, you're winning this football game. We get this fourth down. If the ball snapped at the right time, whoever's fault that was, I don't care, but the ball snapped at the right time, we get the fourth down, we score right there, we beat them. We're going to beat that team. You guys can play with them. We've already proven that. We've got that. That's in the, even if you lose this weekend, it sort of shows that you can. Whereas, you know, a team comes in with a reputation or, you know, kind of what they've done and how starving Detroit is, certainly those home fans. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who I'd rather play. I mean, I'd rather play like, you know, a two-loss team somehow to try to get a postseason win at this point. But, you know, totally understand that that's obviously not on the cards. But it's just interesting to me is all that if you beat Philadelphia, and it may happen this way anyway, win, lose, or draw, but you're almost setting up that rematch come postseason time. Because I don't think the sixth seed's really accessible. Maybe still there's a snowball's chance. But that's just, you know, playing that team for the third time and that third time being in their building will be interesting.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We're live at the Crystal City Sports Pub today for our Friday field trip. I saw this tweet. I wanted to mention this to you. So Party City is going out of business. Mm-hmm. And I guess all of their corporate employees have been told, like, their offices are shutting down first of the year. And I guess that means if you're working at a Party City, you find out the hard way today that you're in a bad spot, right? But Party City is a place that growing up, over and over and over and over again, we would go to before all of our parties, right? It got me to thinking about chains that have gone out of business from your childhood, stores, food spots, whatever, that when you hear it, it hits you a little bit. Because for me, I thought, I'm 8 years old. My mom's dragging me into Party City because we're getting ready for our New Year's Eve party at the Paulson House or whatever. And I posted a tweet at Grant H. Paulson for people to, you know, talk about some of the places that have gone out of business. I got a lot of great responses. But the number one most prevalent response, and the one to me that just a kick to the ribs, any kind of movie rental stores. Every single Friday night, after school, we would do Pizza Hut and we'd go rent movies. I had two older brothers and a younger sister. We would get like the old WWF Royal Rumbles on VHS, and then we would get like another movie or two that just recently came out. And you know how it was. They would have like the cover of the movie, which was in a like a clear case,
yep,
in front of the movie itself that was encased as well. And you would, like, pull it, you'd look at it, see who's in it. My dad would, like, read the back and make sure, okay, I think you guys can watch this, whatever. But we would do that every Friday, like Blockbuster as an example. Obviously, that is an antiquated technology that's gone and over with.
Sure, yeah, you don't need it, but, man, it was awesome.
But I miss going into a Blockbuster and just walking around the aisles and just seeing the movies. Like, that's something I'll never get to do again. My kids will never understand.
That, you know, we had an even more local chain. We had Errol's Video. There was Hollywood Video, like that. You had that,
I remember Hollywood
that
Video
membership card. Oh, you just felt like a king walking in there. Like Be Kind, Rewind. That's even before your time, where it was a big deal. You would get fined. You would get fined if you were a chronic non-rewinder of the video cassettes. I mean, everything about it was just so great.
Another one that I remember from the holiday season, Danny, your boy. Every single year when we went Christmas shopping at the Spotsylvania Mall, would make a beeline to KB Toys. And I had to walk around KB Toys and see what was what. I would, like, put together a Christmas list off of what I saw in that store. That's long gone. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are versions of it. Like, Toys R Us is still around, right?
No, they're out of business.
Is that one gone,
yeah,
too?
I think they're out of business still.
I mean, it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, you think about, you just name places that you went to. They're probably out of business.
Well, just, you know, it's for a million ways or a million different reasons, a lot of those things are semi-obsolete.
Well, I was going to say, how much of this is because we're old or how much of this is because the world has changed?
It's both. I mean, listen, businesses rise, fall. I mean, there was one point where, like, Kodak was one of the single largest Fortune 500 companies in America, and it was all about photos. You get your photos developed at the local drugstore. I got a few thousand photos in my iCloud and on my phone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The world's different. It used to be like, oh, you got a digital camera? Wow, that's amazing. Again, my phone. My phone's got it.
So what's your answer to my question on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson? What chain went out of business from your childhood that you think about still the most or, like, hits you the hardest?
I was hoping Darius would be able to grab this theme song. I just hit him up via the chat, but it's not going to happen. It's not a big deal. The Chesapeake Bay Seafood House. They had a jingle, local commercials. There was a handful of restaurants around. Chesapeake Bay Seafood House, all the seafood you can eat. And we put that to the test. Every year for my birthday, where did the hoorays go? The Chesapeake Bay Seafood House. That's where we went. I miss it so much. I loved that place. They had the hush puppies as you sit down. Hey, thanks for coming in. Sit your fat butt down right there. Here's some fried cornbread for that butt. Enjoy yourself. Have a grand old time. You didn't even order anything yet, but here are some hush puppies with butter. Don't fill up on hush puppies, Danny. I won't, Mom. And I did every time. It didn't matter. I still ate my weight in seafood. I loved that place so much. There was a location in Falls Church that we used to go to all the time. There it is. Blast the tears.
Seafood house. Get all the seafood
for just one price. That's an old school jingle.
I miss it. There's a website.
This jingle sounds like it's 1989.
You're damn right it does. There's a website where all they have is just this YouTube video, and they're like, Chesapeake Bay Seafood House, and someone took a picture of the menu. R.I.P. the Chesapeake Bay Seafood House.
You know what you sleep on, and you sleep on in the Saints hat, and a lot of people sleep on? I think there's a couple of these still around because I saw one recently, I think, in Woodbridge, but most of them are gone. You want to talk about places you went for your birthday? I was a Fuddruckers guy.
Dude.
Fuddy's.
Dude.
Fuddy's used to be the noise.
Stop it.
You would walk in, there'd be like Elvis pictures and all. But the best part about Fuddruckers is you go through, you get your burger, you get your condiments, you do what you want to do.
Toppings bar, man.
The toppings bar was silly, but at the end of that meal, you would pull up that paper off the basket, and there was a redeemable coupon for a chocolate chip cookie. And you would walk up, and you'd get that chocolate chip cookie, and there wasn't one better. You thought about it the whole time you were eating that perfectly crisp, buttered, toasted bun on your burger. Now, I think that's a little bit of cheating because, again, I think they still exist to an extent.
So they're way
fewer. But they are an endangered species, bro.
So there was a time where they had a – there was one at right by Capital One in that neighborhood.
I kept that place open for about 4 years.
Well, there was one in DuPont Circle, too. We would do a move where – when I was working in alumni relations and development, like decades ago, my buddy was in commercial real estate, which meant he left every day at 11 and just sort of pretend that he was doing something. Anyway, we'd go hit golf balls at Haynes Point and grab Fuddruckers for dinner on the way back.
Oof.
It was perfect.
Some of the responses here on Twitter. Heckingers. I went there with
We're
my mom.
One heck of a store. Let's get it done. Heckingers. I'll go all day.
A lot of people going with Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Toys R Us. I'm getting – oh, what about Western Sizzler? Did you ever eat a Western Sizzler?
So we had Sizzler, which is different than Western Sizzler, right?
Is it different?
I think it's different, man.
What I remember about that spot is you'd go in and there was like cartoons playing on like a big screen, almost like a movie theater. Is that the same as Sizzler?
No, Sizzler is like kind of your, it's like an Outback kind of deal.
What kind of pizza joints? I'm trying to think of
Shakey's Pizza.
No file. Was that in Northern Virginia, like Fairfax?
I think Shakey's was everywhere. I don't know. There may be some Shakey's
around. We
didn't
have one of those down there in King George, I'll tell you.
Well, just Timmy's house. He makes pizza out the back. There were a number of spots like that. But the obviously the Pizza Hut with the book prize that you could, you know, you basically like read enough books. You get like a free personal pan pizza.
Oh.
You read like Gulliver's Travels and crap. Just unbelievable. Those.
That was the only summer where I did my reading.
You did your thing.
When you got to actually go pummel some food after the fact. Someone's telling me CC's Pizza. Those have to still be around.
Dude, there's got to be CC's.
In high school, this was a after-school staple. A bunch of us. As soon as someone got a driver's license, we would celebrate because that guy drove. We all got in his car. You told your parents whatever you had to tell your parents, and you went to CC's Pizza in Fredericksburg.
$5 lunch special, dude.
If you guys don't remember, it was like $4.99. You just load up pizza to the roof on your plate. It was all you could eat. You some of them actually, like, you weighed going in and going out if you weren't too embarrassed about it. But they also had a food bar with, like, dessert pizzas. And
the
like
dessert pizza
bread
was delicious.
And just, like,
that cinnamon icing.
Oh,
sorry
God.
About it. I used to go – when I worked at Skyline as a government contractor, my buddy Quincy and I would go to CC's all the time. It was one of the fat periods of my life.
I think some people want to chime in on this, so we could do that next. We'll also get you a quick winning off the field. But we're getting ready for the Commanders and the Eagles Week 16 in the NFL. We're out and about today, a Friday field trip at the Crystal City Sports Pub. Come on by and kick it with us on this Football Friday. Welcome back to Grant and Danny from the Crystal City Sports Pub over in Arlington. Crystal City is a cool little area. On the way into D.C., they'll stop off. If you're coming back 395 or near the Beltway, you're not far. So come on out and hang with us. It's a Friday field trip for the Grant and Danny radio program We're enjoying ourselves. There's a ton of TVs. There's bowl games on. There's a lot to enjoy out here, including delicious food. You just had crab dip.
It's a crab dip. I'm Christian pondering something else as well. These, by the way, the tweet responses about places that no longer are, some of the like local favorites or little chains and things, just taking me back.
Well, that's the whole point, right? Yeah. It's just that nostalgia. I've got 101 responses, and I can, you know, some of them I've never heard of, or, you know, everyone's a little different in age.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, some of them don't relate to me, but I don't know, probably 60 or 70 of them I'm going, oh, my God, yeah, I went to that place.
So, Uptown D.C. sent me Swenson's Ice Cream, probably $7,000 over the years spent there. Sullivan's Toy Store in Cathedral Heights, again, tens of thousands of dollars.
So these are
over
in the city,
years.
Right?
Yeah, these are all D.C. ones. Armand's Pizza. There is a location in Maryland still, I believe, of Armand's Pizza. That was old school Chicago deep dish in D.C., but it was a great chain. You could go get a deep dish pizza, you and your buddy, with a couple of sodas there at the Wisconsin Avenue location, and you could get out of there for under $20, which is a huge deal when you're a kid on a budget.
Party City's closing. We'll get back into football in a couple minutes, I promise. But it's got us thinking about places that are no longer from when you were a kid growing up. Your childhood had meant something to you. Jack is in Springfield on Grant and Danny. What's up, Jack? How are you?
Hey, good. How are you? Yeah, good topic. Of course, I grew up in Springfield. And, you know, one think about on the sports was Modell's in Springfield Mall.
Ooh, great one. I got a lot of jerseys from Modell's for a long, long time.
Right, and one thing I'd also bring up, of course, K&B Toys is in there, but, you know, big group of us all worked at Chesapeake Bay Seafood House. We all waited tables and went out afterwards. It was a big Redskin following back in the day. We would all go out and watch the Redskins, but the Hush Puppies are a machine that you crank and three come out at a time, and I was a fry cook there, too, when I was in high school. So
amazing.
It was a big following at Chesapeake, and we used to really make fun of the people that would eat forever and take up our tables. That's
Danny, you mean Danny Rouillet?
Danny kept you busy.
Little kid.
Thanks for the call,
little 10-year-old. You go, how's he putting that away, that much fried shrimp? I don't know.
And he said three at a time?
Yeah.
That is not efficient. If you're eating 11, yeah. I mean, they're working.
Oh, dude, if you go to Cactus Cantina on Wisconsin Ave, they're making tortillas for hundreds of people.
Right.
This incredible lady never stops doing it. It's the same deal with the Hush Puppies.
Kevin's in Centerville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy holidays to you. Grant, I grew up in Colonial Beach. Know the trek down Route 3 very well to get to Fredericksburg. And, you know, one of the things that I always did was I'd go to Ruby Tuesdays. And they were impressive in their consistency on mediocrity. And I love getting the sampler. I'm not giving a sampler to anybody else. I'm eating those cheese sticks, those tater skins, and the chicken fingers all by myself. And I'm going to the salad bar. And I'm going to pick out the wilted lettuce and the ham that maybe was ham, but it was definitely ham-flavored
water. Ham-adjacent, yeah.
It was just a perfect place to go and spend like $15.
So I love the Ruby's Tuesdays burgers, but the salad bar was my staple because I would get – I didn't do salads ever.
Right.
At
terrible.
Salad bars where they have cottage cheese, which most did, I would do a bowl of cottage cheese, bacon bits, and croutons and just kind of stir it up. So I did that at Pizza Hut salad bar. I did that at Ruby Tuesdays, just cottage cheese, croutons, and bacon bits. And every time we went to Ruby Tuesdays, which was a lot, that was my mom's go-to when we would go shopping or something. That was where me and her would go get a burger or something. But the salad bar with the cottage cheese slapped.
One of my best buddy teammates from college, we got in an argument that actually ended up getting really heated. We had to be separated. We had to apologize to each other later about which was better, the Friday's three-for-all or the Ruby Tuesday sampler. He said Ruby Tuesday sampler. And I'm like, you're not getting me to say anything bad about it.
I'm a Ruby Tuesday sampler guy.
But the Friday three-for-all had the potato skins.
It did.
Right?
Potato skins are great.
Isn't that what we're doing here?
I was not a Friday's guy until older in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to turn down potato skins. You also completely forget about how great Friendly's was. And I don't see many Friendly's anymore.
There aren't many.
But when you would go get a burger at Friendly's and then you'd cap it off with one of those ice cream scoops and their little, they had like the weirdly shaped glasses,
sure
you know what
did.
I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the phones. How about we hit Dave in Woodbridge on Grant and Danny. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. The Chesapeake was amazing. That would be my number one. But Shakey's. I don't know if you remember that, but that was like the original Dave and Buster's. They'd have like three arcade games.
Do you know how hard those arcade games were after eating the Shakey's pizza? So in other words, you sit there, you're starving. Shakey's pizza, super thin crust, very greasy. I mean, this is Bob. You know what I mean? Like it's coming to you and your fingers, no matter how many times you wiped off your fingers, they're so greasy. Now you got to go play Pac-Man.
Why were they so Brian? You just didn't use enough napkins?
There's nothing you could do.
Okay.
It was the greasiest pizza of all time. It was delicious. I love Shakey's pizza. But now you're going to try to play Ms. Pac-Man with the greasiest thing ever? There's no way.
Anthony and Calvert, you're on the Fan. What's good?
What's up, guys? So I kind of got on this topic a little late, so some of these might have been said, but, you know, like Tower Records or Sam Goody when, like, the new CD came out. And then, obviously, Circuit City's gone. But I got two, maybe three of them that might, really hit home. So do you guys ever remember Fireside Pizza? It was, like, the predecessor to Lido's, I think.
No.
I've never heard of
it. No file on that. Was that College Park type bit?
Yeah. And then there's Orange Julius. I don't know if they're still in business, but they're usually in, like, malls. You go in there and
talk with
your mom. And you get, like, the vanilla creamsicle. And then the last one was Record and Tape Trader, where you'd go and buy used CDs for a third of the price of new ones, and it was great.
How about just the process, thanks for the call,
thank you, buddy,
of going to buy the CD you couldn't wait to get? For me, it was Best Buy. But for a lot of people, it was just, you know, whatever record store. But you would run in, you'd be like, oh, the new, you know, whoever just dropped. You cut the plastic off, you open it. They've got the little book you sift through of their pictures and the lyrics. And then you put it in your CD player, and you just give it that listen where you're just skipping through the tracks that first time. That'll never happen again. Like, a kid today will
never get it.
Ever buy a CD and experience any of that.
So on November 23rd, 1993, the new Snoop Dogg album came out. It was called Doggy Style. It's just the name of the album. That's the name of the album, okay? Just saying the name of the album.
That's the name of the album.
Anyway, I had a free period. I left school. I took the bus up Wisconsin Avenue to one of the record stores. I think it was Tower Records. And I waited for them to stock it, and I bought it, and I made it back in time for my next class. And I was like the king of the school. I was like, you guys, I've got it.
Party City is no more.
No more Party City.
As of today. That's a tough one to hear. That was the stop before all the birthdays growing up. The Beltway Blitz comes your way next. We're going to span all of the DMV and the sports teams you care the most about. And at 425, we'll give you some props. Over, under, make some predictions on the Commanders and the Eagles for the individual player performances that lie ahead. You are listening to the Grant and Danny program on site on a football Friday from the Crystal City Sports Pub. If you want Caps tickets, we're giving them away as soon as we return on the Fan.